Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode and the entire season is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QUEERFAM for a free level 2 subscription at cryobank.com.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Nova's entry into the world solidified my gender transition in a way that I didn't expect, because hearing her one call me daddy for the first time was like, I am a dude. I am a dad. So I could cry now thinking about that. But then watching everybody else be like, daddy, 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 when they're talking to her about me, and then, you know, in interacting with me, it just really, any struggle people might have had with pronouns or getting who I am shifted when they witnessed her, because mm-hmm. she just got it immediately. Mm-hmm. There was no question, and everybody just kind of followed her lead.
Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. Wink, wink. My name is Jamie. I'm your host. And you, my friends, are tuning into the show whose mission is to highlight, uplift, normalize, and celebrate LGBTQIA+ families in all of our beautiful identities. And I'll tell you what, this episode right here does not disappoint on that front. I had the wonderful honor to sit down with Mo Ari and Tiffany. They are fellow podcasters, and they are the hosts of the Be Your Own Love Goals podcast. And we dove into their story, y'all. They met in college, as you do. They were friends, as you do. Then there was a little romance that happened, as you do, in our stories many times. And then there was some coming out that had to happen. And then a transition happened. Mo Ari transitioned. And there was some more coming out that had to happen with that. And then the two of them did a little reciprocal IVF. And there was some coming out and conversations that had to happen with their families. And also some difficult conversations they've had surrounding their donor choice. And basically, I don't want to give anything away, but my takeaway with their story is, you know, coming out is never just a one and done thing, as we learn time and time again on this show. And transitioning is never a one and done thing. It's ongoing. These things are ongoing. And I just think that Mo Ari and Tiffany's story just really highlights that so beautifully. So I think you all are going to get something great out of this story. And I can't wait for you to hear it. Can't wait to hear what you thought about it. And before I roll that tape, y'all, before I roll it, I have got some big news. Listen up. The Queer Family Podcast, y'all, is an Anthem Award finalist. This is a big deal. If you don't know the Anthem Awards, they are brought to you by the Webbies, which is huge. And they celebrate and award purpose and mission-driven work that is making a difference in the world. And they have made this little podcast here a finalist in that. It's so exciting. It's a huge honor to be recognized. And I'm celebrating by talking to you. It's freaking awesome. So this means I am eligible, when the awards come out, to win an award, a gold, a silver, or a bronze in their diversity, equity, and inclusion category. And it also makes me eligible for their community award, which is open to all finalists, and which is where they ask folks to vote for their favorite change makers, basically. And here I am asking you to vote for me. You don't have to, because I'm still up for the award. But if you feel like going in and making me a little more popular than the rest, what you're going to need to do is head on over to anthemawards.com. You're going to click the button that says Support Anthem Finalists. You're going to find the search icon on that page, and you're going to search the Queer Family Podcast. And when you find it, you're going to click the little button that says Celebrate. And that's all you got to do. And then you will put a vote in for me to be like the biggest change maker in the community. So go do that. If every single one of y'all did that, we might stand a chance. So go ahead and do that. And before I roll the tape, last thing, I got an ally voicemail, y'all. Listen, I told y'all, reach out, tell me how this podcast resonates with you, how these stories resonate with you. I asked my ally friends to do so as well, and the allies have shown up time and time again, y'all. Oh my God. And this one gave me some feels. This one comes in from Jesse. I'm just going to play it for you. Take a listen. It's going to give you some feels, or maybe just me, but I don't know. Take a listen.
Jamie, hi, it's Jesse. Hetero ally, huge fan, celebrator of If These Ovaries all the way through to the Queer Family Podcast, longtime listener, first time caller. I'm calling in response to your call for hearing from Straight Allies. I've been listening to the podcast since March 2020 when I was pregnant and really thinking about going through the pandemic and becoming a parent and wanting to be as intentional as possible. I have learned so much, both for my own parenting journey about intentional choices in parenting, as well as how to be a better ally and have a more comprehensive view of what my LGBTQIA+ siblings are going through to become families. And I feel I've really become a better advocate and ally. So thank you so much for all that you do to share with the whole listening community. And then I wanted to share that my moment in waiting arrived this summer because my best friend for life, who is a cisgender woman and has always dated cisgender men, fell in love and into a queer relationship. And let me tell you, Jamie, I have never been so ready for a moment as I was, because we are talking family and I am super fucking prepared to get into it. Let's go. So I am in the nitty gritty with her, hand in hand, best friends side by side, as we figure out how we're going to make a family for them. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for the incredible podcast. I really look forward to it every Monday morning. And I'm so appreciative for the way that you've supported me in my parenting journey and in my ally journey. Lots of love to you and Helen and Beulah.
Oh my God. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you. Thank you for the message. And I love hearing from all of you, be you an L, a G, a B, a T, a Q, an I, an A, or an ally. If you've got something you want to tell me, you can email me at thequeerfamilypodcast@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 646-470-1840. And I hope Jesse's friend makes that baby, and I have made yet another baby. That's my plan. I'm making so many babies in the world. I'm like a sperm donor over here. Oh God. Okay. All right. I got to roll this tape. I love y'all. Thank you for tuning in time and time again. Please go vote if you got some spare time. It shouldn't take long, at anthemawards.com. Make me in the running for that community award. And I love y'all. Enjoy the episode and keep tuning in. Okay.
Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Moari and Tiffany.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Yes, we're so excited.
I am so very happy and excited to have y'all. I really don't know that much about your story. I just kind of know like the overview, because I've been trying not to dig too deep until our actual talk together, so that everything comes to me like in the moment. Yeah. And I'm very excited to hear your story. So, you know, without further ado, we should just get right into your 30-second elevator pitch of who you are and why you are here talking to the Queer Fam Squad. And you know, I just gave you the rundown. I am going to time you, but I will never cut you off. This could be the whole episode for all I care. This is just fun. All in good fun. I will let you know if you ran over. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I mean, actually, I will. On your marks, get set, go.
Okay, so I'm Mo Ari.
I'm Tiffany.
Yes, and we have been together for pretty much a decade. We've known each other for more time than that. Mm-hmm. We met in college through a sorority. We became friends first and then lovers. And then I went through gender transition. We moved from the only place I ever lived to Atlanta. We had a baby through reciprocal IVF. Yes. And we've done all of this stuff and we realized that change is the only constant. We are meant to be together. The human capacity for unconditional love is very immense. And we just love talking about that with people.
And being your own love goals, always.
Oh, my God. That was beautiful. You ran a little bit over, but I'm going to tell you, y'all had a lot to pack into that. And you have a podcast called what?
Be Your Own Love Goals.
Yes.
There it is. So everybody needs to tune into them after they listen to this beautiful episode. I already know it's going to be beautiful. I haven't even heard your story. Let's go to the beginning. Let's go to, you know what? I want to take even further back to before y'all met. Like, let's hear about little Mo Ari and little Tiffany and how you came to your queerness, right? And how you came to, you know, who you were when you met. How about that?
That could certainly be a whole episode too. I'll just say I was raised on the south side of Chicago. I had not understood myself as trans yet when I was growing up. I figured this out more in my 20s, but when I was a child, there were all these signs pointing in that direction. I'm the youngest of six kids. I had four older brothers and I was born with an identical twin sister. Oh. And so much of my upbringing is me trying to differentiate from my sister, but still wanting to love her and not to have her feel like I don't want to be like her. But I knew that there was this part of me that was different. So she was into all of the things you would expect a very femme, cisgender, hetero woman to be into. And I was anti all of that. I wanted to be out there with my brothers playing basketball into the wee hours of the evening, like all that kind of stuff. And I was also raised pretty much in the Christian church. I'm the child of a pastor. And so that was a big part of my upbringing. And it wasn't that I grew up with queerness even being talked about negatively. It was like queer people were invisible. So that's a lot of my experience until I got to college.
Oh, wow. So like they called you a tomboy.
You know, I didn't feel like I can express my gender differences because I had to dress like my sister. So I would ask for clothes that were like my brother's and they would be like, you could do that, but you're going to dress like your sister. It was never like it wasn't really a choice. So I didn't get to dress in the mask ways that I really wanted to.
Wow, that comes with being a twin, I guess. Okay, Tiffany, how about you?
I was not born and raised in the North. I was born in a very small town in South Carolina. I am the oldest of four kids, and I was very much raised and reared in a Baptist church in the South. So we spent a lot of our time in church, Bible study, you know, Sunday service, and a lot of our community was in church. And so that, you know, shaped a lot of how I view the world, my own viewpoints. And it wasn't really until college that I became more aware of my identity. I mean, just even myself as a woman. So even thinking about my queer identity, I came into that later in college after more exposure or just more positive messages. So I was very much born and raised as a cookie cutter, like Southern Belle girl from the South with this very narrow viewpoint of what family looks like, but also what marriage looks like and all of the things. So college opened that wide. And, you know, I've been exploring the expansive nature of who I am ever since then.
Wow. So y'all met at what college was it?
So I went to Northwestern and she went to Emory. Mm-hmm. I was in Alpha Kappa Alpha. That's the first Black sorority for college educated women. Mm-hmm. And I met Tiffany because we were traveling for this committee that oversees all the undergraduates. We were appointed to this position. Mm-hmm. And so we always ended up being roommates for that committee when we would travel. And so we developed our friendship in that way.
As you do. I'm sorry, I have to interject. As you do. As you do. Yeah.
So we weren't at the same school, but that's interesting that you brought that up because that formed the beginning of our relationship a lot, like being long distance from one another, having, so it wasn't like we were around each other all the time to even figure out that there was this liking in the beginning. It was slow. It was like, we're friends. I just want to talk to her all of the time, but we were long distance. So it didn't click until a couple years into our friendship that there was like this attraction there, even though I knew at the time that I liked women.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was my next question. So you're at college, your eyes are being opened. As you said, Tiffany, you're seeing more things, more positive, you know, imagery or whatever of queerness and just sexuality in general. And so you meet each other and your eyes are being opened. So take me through that. So Maury, you said you already knew you were attracted to women. Like, when did that happen? How did that happen?
I figured that out in college. I definitely had some other friends turn lovers and had explored some, was on dating apps.
As you do.
Definitely. Okay. Yeah.
I did not know. I was not aware. So, you know, as I was exploring myself as Tiffany, I feel like I was gaining so much knowledge about who I was just so quickly and fast. And so I just was like, oh my gosh, I really enjoy this person. They're a really great friend. And our relationship was platonic there for a very long time in the beginning of our relationship. I just knew, like, wow, I've never had a friend like this before. And I remember one particular conversation I had with a college friend, and I said, you know, if Mo was a guy, I could see myself dating them. And now, even thinking back at that comment, I'm like, wow, I really, you know, there was some real attraction there. You know, it was beyond friendship there. So I wasn't aware, but it was actively happening before my eyes. And I just was none the wiser about what was going on.
If it's not on your radar, you just don't see it. You don't, you don't even think about it, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to tell you, that's why representation matters so much.
Absolutely.
Right? Yes. So that we can see the many aspects of ourselves that could be lying dormant and we don't even know.
Yeah.
Gotta see it to believe it in many ways. So the friendship blossoms and then more starts blossoming. And what happens? When did each of you come out? You know the story. Take me through it. I just want to hear.
Yeah.
So I feel like there was a point in which we began to realize that there was more there. Like, it wasn't just platonic. It was some romantic feelings involved there. And I was honestly slower to explore it. Mm-hmm. Would you say you were slow to explore
it? No, I was quick. Once I figured it out, I was like, do you like me? And she was like, I think she was open to saying she liked me, but I was definitely the first person to say, I love you. Mm-hmm. I want to explore this relationship. And she was like, what is love? Like, she started asking existential questions. She did not say, I love you back. And I was just patient. Like, I just wanted her in my life. So I just kept talking to her. And a turning point for me was I went to grad school at Northwestern for marriage and family therapy. And during like my first year, my mother got diagnosed with breast cancer. And so I was thrown off my square, basically. I was very in grief about that, upset about that, hurt about that. Tiffany is like, I'm going to come visit you in Chicago. It's Halloween. So I'm like, this is awesome. I never had anybody do anything like that for me. She cares this much. Mm-hmm. So she came to visit. I had gifts for her. I had food prepared. Like, I was just so heart open. Mm-hmm. I don't know that she was expecting me to be doing all of that. But that night we had sex. Mm-hmm. I don't think this was the first time, but it was one of very few times. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like we'd had sex many times prior to that. So I'm like, can you please be my girlfriend? She's like, can you ask me in the morning when I'm not clouded by, you know, what just happened? So the next morning is Halloween. And I'm like, can you please be my girlfriend? So she says, yes. Mm-hmm. And this began, I think, our pretty consistent relationship since then. Mm-hmm. We've never broken up. Mm-mm. We've had our challenges along the way. Mm-hmm. But we've been together since that day, 2014.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Congrats. Wait, I want to dig into something that I just heard. Maury, you just said it had happened a couple times before. the bumping. I'm asking this because it resonates with me a little bit, actually, because I had this like secret lesbian relationship going on before I was ready to like really say, yes, this is who I like. This is what I like. And every time after we would do it, I always had like these feelings of like, oh, that's not me. I can't do this. This is not. I had a lot of internalized shame surrounding the sex act. And I would go through it after it happened. I'd go through this whole like thing in my head for days and then say, no, that's not me. I'm not going to do it. Did you have anything like that, Tiffany? And if you don't, then I just, I'm an idiot and I just did my thing.
No, I definitely did. So I remember after the first time going into the moment, I had no idea anything like this would happen. So I didn't even kiss Mo the first time. I was like, you know, we can have sex, but I don't want to kiss you. Like, I don't want to give eye contact. Because in my head, I'm like, this is going to change everything. This is literally going to change from us being platonic to I don't know what. So there was no eye contact in that moment. And I remember after being like, wow, what does this mean for our friendship now? Like, does this mean we're going to continue on as friends and forget that this ever happened? Does this mean we're going to, you know, dig deeper into this and explore it? I just was very caught into like, what is going to happen now?
Yeah.
And there was a bit of shame there, if I'm honest. Like, what have I done? Was that wrong? But it feels so good. It felt so great. Like, I want to do it again. But should I be? You know, a lot of like internal back and forth was happening for me.
And Laurie, you said it perfectly. You were like, there was a lot of existential stuff going on with Tiffany. You were thinking, you were digging deep, Tiffany. And I feel you. I think that's something that's like really universal for many of us. Queer folks. Because we all come with our baggage and fears. So, okay. So it happens. Now you're girlfriends at this point. And then what happens? When do you tell the family, like, take me down the path?
So we wake up in the morning. I'm like, can you please be my girlfriend? That day, we took my mom to Cancer Treatment Centers of America, which is like in Illinois, northern part of Illinois. And so she meets my mom. We didn't come out then, but my mom is meeting her that day because I'm like, I want to see if they interact well. My mom loves Tiffany to this day. And that was a great experience. But I came out to my family, I would say that was October the following April. I was like, Tiffany is my girlfriend. My siblings already knew, but my parents didn't. So I took an opportunity when we were all together to just tell my parents with the support of my siblings. And it actually went over pretty well. But I have an older brother who's about 14 years older than me, who's queer already. And so he was in the process of getting married to his husband. So it wasn't new for them. Although they had had challenges with him, they were now having to be just accepting of me because we've already been here before. And so it was an easier experience for me.
Atta, brother, paving the way. Right. Come on now. Right?
Absolutely.
You owe him so much now.
Absolutely.
The road paver. That's beautiful. That's great. So they came to a place where they accepted it.
Absolutely.
Yay, parents.
I have a very different story.
She does.
Okay. It's, you know, Halloween and this is happening. And I'm like, I have, you know, these great relationships with my family and me and my mom. We talk about everything and I'm going home for Thanksgiving. Like, how can I go home for Thanksgiving and have this big thing just looming? So I'm like, I didn't put much thought into it. I got on the phone and I was like, hey, Ma, you know, I've been visiting Chicago. I just want to let you know that Mo is my girlfriend. And in the phone conversation, she was very much like, you know, pretty inquisitive, but like, I understand, you know, like this is new, but thank you for sharing. I really appreciate your openness. You know, a very like, I wouldn't necessarily say celebratory, but also not negative. Just a very like, okay, this is a new thing. I need to integrate. That is not what lasted. So shortly after I got lots of communication from her. I believe she ended up telling my father and
who's a pastor.
Very negative backlash and feedback. I would say it's probably one of the most difficult moments to date in my life, having to deal with that level of rejection and unacceptance. And so I certainly went into that thinking that they would be very open. And even though we didn't have a lot of representation, I just knew that we were so close that it would be like, okay, you know, this is a new thing. We're going to work through it together, which is why I told them so quickly. Like, I was excited.
Yeah.
Like, from October to Thanksgiving, I was just like, I got to tell them. And then that was the reception that I got.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's tough. Yeah. That's so tough.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, when you are so close. I am extremely close with my mom. Yeah. And I thought it was going to be like, I thought she was going to celebrate. I thought she was going to be like, yes, that's great. But it wasn't like that. It wasn't terrible. And she came around very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it wasn't, it didn't go as splendidly as I thought it did. And even that hurt so deep. Yeah. I'm so sorry you went through that.
Thank you.
I'm hoping it's better now.
Yeah, it is definitely a lot better now.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Family podcast, love is love.
Ed Center, parenting coach extraordinaire. What are you doing in this episode? This is not your episode.
I know. I'm sorry to break in and cut off other people and make this about me. I know that is a tendency. However, I needed to come in to invite you to our special January class. It is a new year, no yelling challenge.
Oh, and Ed.
I know. I want you to take the challenge on. I think it's going to be terrific for you.
Oh,
I know that you want more joy and calm in your parenting life.
I do. Right? It is
and
true.
More tools in your toolkit.
Yes, so I do.
That's a good lesbian metaphor, right? Tools in the toolbox.
My tool belt.
Yes. To support better behavior from your kids.
Yes.
And so I want to invite you. It's an amazing opportunity. Every day in January, you'll get a bite-sized lesson, 5 minutes, to support your calmness and your parenting. You will also get community, small group coaching sessions that are optional.
Oh, okay.
And I think it is going to really help you thrive in 2024. I also want to invite all your listeners in. If they go to my website, villagewellparenting.com, and click on the New Year No Yelling Challenge, and then use code QUEERFAM at checkout.
Okay.
They can take the course for just $10.
Ooh, and you get all that support, and you get little nuggets every day. That's the part I'm looking forward to. I don't know if I'm going to actually succeed at this, but let's do it.
I am 100% sure you're going to succeed, and you're going to have fun along the way.
I don't know about that, but I'm excited. All right, everybody go to villagewellparenting.com and use code QUEERFAM. In the new year challenge. Oh my God, no yelling. I don't know how this is going to go.
You got this, girl. I believe in you.
I have a feeling I know exactly how this is going to go. Good luck, everyone.
Love is love.
Let's talk about, so you get married. When does family come into, like, the talk of family? Because, you know, as you know, there are a lot of decisions that need to be made when it comes to us making babies.
Yeah.
So when did that come in?
So I would say rather immediately. I had already begun gender transition, had top surgery. This is another part of this process that was starting to happen at the same time.
Take me through it. You tell it how you want to tell it, because I don't know the timeline. So yeah, you take me through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of it.
Yeah. So somewhere around either very late 2016, very early 2017, it could have been January 1. I am like, Tiffany, I think I am transgender. For me, it was like I never had exposure to transgender people. But as I was becoming more part of the queer community, seeing more clients in therapy, transgender people just all of a sudden became extremely visible to me. And I started to look more into our stories, and I was like, this is me. All of those times I wanted to pee standing up, and all the stuff I wanted to wear. I remember telling my mom when I was a teenager, I don't want breasts, like crying profusely when we have to go bra shopping. And she was like, it's going to get better. You'll eventually be okay. Mm-hmm. And she's doing her best to be encouraging. She didn't know that that's what I was getting at. And so I wanted top surgery my whole life. And I was vocal about that from being a teenager onward. And so by the time I figure out, oh, people can be transgender, I was like, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told Tiffany, early 2017. I think I'm transgender. I show her pictures of transgender people, more about their stories. I think her response was like, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. It was a very non-issue kind of moment. And I thought it was going to be this big thing. I was worried she was going to stop loving me, or mm-hmm. she was going to be like, I don't like you now, or I'm not going to be able to be with you. And mm-hmm. that wasn't her reaction. She's like, I just like you. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate her support through that process. Yeah. And she was with me when I came out to my parents as transgender. She's been instrumental in helping her family get on board with pronouns and all of the things. Mm-hmm. She was there with me when I changed my name legally, helping me heal after top surgery.
Calling insurance
for me. You know, all the things, you name it. Tiffany has been an amazing ally.
That was probably a thing, huh?
The insurance. We battled with insurance through 2020 to get our paperwork, and they ended up covering it. But it mm-hmm. was like an ongoing challenge. And I had top surgery in 2018, mm-hmm. Shortly before our wedding.
So frustrating, and it makes me extremely angry that that there is any difficulty with this whatsoever. But such is the world we're living in right mm-hmm. now, right?
Yeah.
But Tiffany, can you talk through it a little bit, like your thoughts about it? Because, you know, there are some, I know you know, mm-hmm. I don't have to tell you, but there are some couples who don't make it through, right? Yeah. Many couples.
So when Mo came to me and said that he was transgender, Jamie, honestly, I don't know that I wasn't aware of having ever met a transgender person before. So I knew that transgender people existed, but I didn't have a lot of context. What I knew for sure was that I loved who Mo was, like, at the core, their soul. Like, I just love them. And so him saying I'm transgender, I'm like, okay, what does that mean? What's next? Like, tell me what I'm supposed to do. What am I supposed to say? What do I need to research? So it was very much like, okay, thanks for that information. How do I use this? Like, you know, how do I continue to be in relationship with you? And so that was my response to Mo. I do feel like internally, because of some of the difficulty I had in relationship with my family, I was like, oh my God, I just came out saying that I am dating a woman, and now I have to go tell them that the person that I fought to have acceptance for is now transitioning? What the heck?
It's a lot of hammers on the head. It's a lot of like, oh, wait a second. Okay, wait, let me add this one. Let me add this wrench to your process now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At this point, Jamie, I feel like I had done every single thing they asked me to do. So in this short period of time, I came out, I'm telling you I'm getting married, and I'm telling you this person that I'm going to marry is transitioning. It felt like, oh my God, this is a lot, right? Mm-hmm. But I knew that I wanted to be in relationships. I was willing to do what it took. And so, as Mo mentioned, so many things throughout his transition, changing his name. I'm a project manager by training. And so when it came time to change his name and change his name on everything, I created this spreadsheet, and I was like, you have to do this, and you have to do this before this. And, you know, gathering the sample letters.
I need you in my life, Tiffany. I need this.
Anytime.
You were in it to win it. You were in it for the long haul, and you helped immensely along the way with all the steps, all the things and the emotions too.
No, I was going to say this is relevant to our parenting journey, so I won't pivot if you were.
That is exactly where I was going to go. I was mm-hmm. going to say that I have a feeling that this is going to tie into the family journey.
Mm-hmm. There absolutely. It is. Okay. Totally. So I mentioned the transition because I knew I wanted to be a part of our child rearing, bearing process, but I knew I did not want to carry a kid. So we had been talking for a while about reciprocal IVF. We had no idea how we were going to pay for that. We know it's like one of the most expensive processes, mm-hmm. but we've always kind of wanted to go that route. Mm-hmm. And I'm at this point, early 2019, I would have been, I would say, 6 to 8 months mm-hmm. on testosterone. Yep. So I got testosterone right after top surgery. So I have to start making this decision. Am I going to lay off the testosterone for 5 to 6 months mm-hmm. and do IVF like egg retrieval and all of that stuff because our doctors were recommending that? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to just like not contribute? So I decided I'm going to go off testosterone for 5 to 6 months. As hard as that was in the dysphoria that came about from that, I really wanted to give those embryos the best possible chance of making it. And so I went off testosterone for about 6 months. We did the egg retrieval at the end of 2019. We froze the embryos for about a month. And then you did like a frozen embryo transfer in November of 2019. Mm-hmm. And after that process, we did it one time. And that one time was how we got Nova, our daughter. Mm-hmm.
Good job. Look at you. Yeah.
It was a real blessing.
Yeah, especially after Moari, what you had just gone through. I mean, the dysphoria must have been terrible. It must have been hard.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It gave me a lot of empathy for what she was about to go into for the pregnancy process. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of those hormones, they give you cramps, bloating, all kinds of stuff. I felt not in my body after that. It took a while to feel like, okay, back to testosterone. It took a while. Yeah. I can see the facial feminization, like all the things that you don't want to happen as a transgender person. That was happening. Mm-hmm. So we're going January 2020. She's pregnant. Now we're moving to Atlanta, Georgia from the only place I've ever lived. And we're going to have our baby there because we want to be able to have a better cost of living. We want to have a slower pace of life. None of us had heard of COVID-19. So we're thinking we're just going to have an easy time. And that was an interesting year to have a baby. Mm-hmm. But I won't say as much anymore about the family journey because I know your journey in that was much more profound.
Yeah. No, I mean,
I have to tell the listeners at home, this is so hard for me because they know I interrupt all the time and I'm having these same sound issues that they know I'm having all of a sudden. And so now my new thing is I'm not supposed to interject and I'm trying to, and if you watch the video, you will see all these faces I'm making and like, I'm trying so hard to hold in all my things that I want to say. This is one of the beauties of our families is that you each got to kind of experience exactly mm-hmm. what that's one of the beauties that you got to experience that as well. And so you can have empathy and understand each other, which, mm-hmm. yeah. which I love, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Tiffany. You were going to go into more about the, and I want to know about the donor. Where did you find the donor and the talk about that too?
You know, we have been talking for a while and I feel like I knew since I was 2-3 years old, I wanted to be a mother. I knew that that was the thing I wanted. I knew I wanted to experience pregnancy. I am a doula, so I work with mothers and birthing people. I just love everything about maternal health, perinatal health. And so I knew I wanted to carry, and I also knew that I wanted it to be a very inclusive process. And so coming to, you know, understand reciprocal IVF, I was like, yeah, of course, let's do it. Like, you know, no questions asked. And I was very okay with that decision. I feel like, you know, at every point that we made a decision, external things always came into my head or made me question, at least for a short time, the decision I made. So after having made that decision, you know, I got mixed responses, but some of those responses were, are you not going to carry? Are you okay with not having carry?
Are you going to do it next time?
Are you going to do it the next time? And I'm like, should I? Is this a thing I should be thinking about? Because I was fine.
They were asking, are you okay not having a genetic tie?
Exactly.
Yeah. And you were totally cool with it.
I was fine. And then once I started getting those questions, I was like, okay, wait, should I be concerned about it? Like, should I be thinking about doing it differently the next time?
And you can. And that's the beauty. Mm-hmm. You can.
Yeah.
You can be bio mom and non-bio mom.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we got that sort of reception. But obviously, we also got some very positive reception. Again, family difficulty came in here again. With more so about the genetics, biology, what is this going to look like? I believe that it was mostly from a place of fear of, am I going to bond with your kid if this is not your bio kid? Just no real understanding of like how much genetics doesn't always matter.
Yeah.
Or doesn't matter. Like when you think about a family and raising a kid. And so I went through that then, and we continue on with the pregnancy and moved to Atlanta on March 1st of 2020. If you're familiar of when the world shut down, it was days later.
Yep, lockdown.
Days later, and I was starting a new job. So lots of change and transition happening. And I would say that, again, our decision to start a family, and particularly this pregnancy on top of the pandemic, was like single-handedly one of the most difficult periods of my life, because it was so much. While all of my hormones are like doing whatever they want to do, I'm having to come to terms with a lot of how family was. I feel like this was the first time I realized that the family I had, or some of the relationships I had, were not what I had expected them to be. And so preparing to welcome a child into this world, obviously we had struggles beforehand, but it was like I had fire under me now to like, you have to get this stuff in order. You are welcoming another soul into this. Yeah. We have to have these conversations.
Yeah.
Fire. Fire. And can we dig a little bit into your donor? That's a big thing for us.
Yeah. So we went with California Cryobank. And for our donor, so it's pretty typical, I think, for Black people to look for Black donors. We knew very early into Tiffany's paperwork, blood work, all of that, that she had your...
I was CMV positive.
No, you're CMV negative.
CMV negative.
And so with CMV, they don't want you to acquire CMV when you're pregnant, because they say it could be life-threatening to the baby. It could also be very bad for your health. So they want you to get a donor that does, that is CMV negative as well, like hasn't been exposed to whatever CMV is. So that was a thing we had to look for. And with Black donors being very limited, that was a part of our process. We're like, okay, are people going to judge us because we can't go with a Black donor? But we really liked California Cryobank. We looked at other banks and we liked their process. We wanted our process to be smooth. We're like, okay, we're just going to look for somebody beyond the phenotype. We looked at what they said in their profiles, what resonated to with us about their personality. We're like, okay, if this was a person we wanted to have a baby with, let's look beyond just skin complexion. Let's look at like who they are. And that's ultimately was the best decision. We picked a guy who ends up being like a professional dancer. He's an artist. He has some of his drawings in there. He scored really high on his SATs. He, when asked who he would want to come to dinner, a famous person, past, present, future, he said Tesla. He wanted Tesla to come. And I've been really interested in green energy and all kinds of things my entire life. I was like, this is the kind of person that I would mate with. Like, if I were to have a baby, if we were to have a baby with anybody, it'd be a person who talks so beautifully about the world. I mean, he talked really beautifully about love and just all these kinds of things. And so we were like, this is the person. And it didn't matter what he looked like or anything. He ends up being of Dominican and Puerto Rican background.
And what really sold me was he had this drawing, this picture that he had created within the file. And I'm obsessed with the moon. I'm obsessed with all things stars, like galaxy, zodiac, all of that. And so he had this really beautiful picture of like the moon and the stars and their connection and relationship to one another. And I was like, this is a sign. This is exactly who our donor is going to be.
I want to say, I love this because it is really interesting, the things that end up resonating, you know, with you or with each individual when it comes to choosing this donor. You know, some folks really care about the medical background and the, you know, and like for me, it was his personal essay that he wrote. It's just amazing to hear what it was that resonated with each and every individual person, because it's different for everyone, who they chose, why they chose them. And I just absolutely love, I love your story. And I love that you went beyond skin color and didn't, you know, not that I love it, but it's just, this is new for me. This is, I've interviewed over 200 people who have made their babies the LGBTQIA+ way.
I love it.
And and only like a tiny handful have said that skin color doesn't matter to me. Well, I think that's absolutely beautiful. Yeah. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're really happy people and our daughter's extremely happy. I love that our donor was smiling in his adult pictures and in his baby pictures, just smiling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, our daughter smiles so much, but it's just like, it was something about him that was just very warm and inviting. And it felt like familiar, like we're those kinds of people. Mm-hmm. And so we really wanted to feel connected to the donor in a way that transcended the physical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
All right, folks, this seems like a pretty good time to stop for a second and talk about my promo code that I have at California Cryobank. Any of you in the market for sperm, I have something for you. And it's the same cryobank that I made my babies at. It's a full service sperm bank, California Cryobank, and for over 45 years, California Cryobank has proudly helped tens of thousands of LGBTQIA+ clients create the family of their dreams, including so many who've been on this show, including so many even in this season alone. They are the number one sperm bank in the U.S. They ship to over 40 countries, and they do have the most diverse selection of sperm donors out there. So to listen more, you're going to visit cryobank.com. You're going to use promo code QueerFam, that's QUEERFAM. And with that, you're going to get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Now, what that can also get you is actually a discount on their level 3 subscription, which gives you even more than the level 2 subscription gives you. And as you all may know, if you listen to this show a lot, the more we can find out about these donors, the better. So go get those level 2, level 3 subscriptions. Use code QueerFam. And let's make some babies, y'all. Here I am. I should just be an honorary sperm donor. That's what I think. Just like, just because I make so many babies. Just kidding. Oh, my God. Ooh, I need a break. I need a drink. Mama needs a drink.
Love is love.
And now let's talk about, I just want to dig into, are you talking to Nova about her origin story yet? Because she's only, what, 2.5, almost 3?
She's 3.
3, yes.
She's 3. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Congrats. You're in it. Are you talking to her about her origin story yet? Or how do you plan to and all the things?
I don't know if we've gone into origin story. Mm-hmm. We do plan to. I would love to like draw her a book or give her, like, I want to talk to her at length about it. Mm-hmm. What have we shared? We try to introduce her to books made by LGBTQ plus authors. We have this book that's called We Are the Rainbow. We Are the Rainbow. Mm-hmm. And it talks all about different identities, being an ally, acceptance. So we're trying to introduce her to the idea of like family mm-hmm. as different mm-hmm. and expansive. She sees me get testosterone shots. She cooperates in that. She doesn't know she just thinks she's playing doctor. Mm-hmm. I do say things like, she comes home from school and she says things like, I'm a girl and you're a boy. And I'm like, no, if you wanted to be a boy, that'd be okay too. And she's like, Dad, I'm a girl. Like, she thinks it's hilarious. So I'm like, she's, you know, telling us. So we try to find moments where we're noticing she's internalizing gender mm-hmm. or other kinds of constructs and guide her towards expansive definitions, because we know she's getting these very narrow mm-hmm. and limiting definitions in society. So I think we're building the foundations. I guess we haven't figured out what that would look like with a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
But we're so open to advice and, you know, suggestions.
You're already doing all the good stuff. And mm-hmm. like, you know, she's 3. She's just figuring out, like you said, gender and even what it is. You mm-hmm. know, my son is 6 now and I have an 11-year-old too. But my son, he's still figuring out gender and he's still trying to figure out how he fits in this all mm-hmm. female family.
Yeah.
And, you know, what that means. And I think it's a constant, right? But as long as you're doing it, you're open mm-hmm. and you're honest and you're not planning on like keeping any part of who you are or who she is a secret, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're doing the work. That's what it is. But there are a lot of books
mm-hmm.
That can help you explain kind of like how she was created. And there's books where you can just read the book and you can find books that will match your particular, you know, reciprocal IVF.
Yeah.
There's plenty of books you can read that just And that's how I did it. I got books so that I didn't have to fumble through the conversation, so that it was just part of like the nighttime reading, always been on their radar. So it's never a surprise.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I want it to be a surprise when they mm-hmm. get older. That's exactly. where the hurt can come in. Right.
Yeah. So
last question. How are your families now? I mean, now you got a baby. Things change.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, baby. Don't they? Can we say obsessed with our child? And I also think us.
Yes.
I would say for my parents, my mom is a registered nurse as well as a pastor, but she was so excited to give Tiffany all of those injections for 10 weeks when we were in Chicago. Mm-hmm. When you do reciprocal, you have to take progesterone for 10 mm-hmm. weeks because your body's not producing it. You're like, I know. I love it. And so my mom was so excited to be involved in that. Both of my parents, I don't think I've seen my dad, or I don't remember him as much when I was a child because they were all in, you know, work. Now they're retired. I don't remember him being so affectionate, gentle, present in the ways that he is, and playful. And so when I see my parents with my daughter now, it's definitely very healing for me. Mm-hmm. I can see how much they try to listen and really be present with us in new ways. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's been very healing to go through this part of the journey and see them as grandparents. Mm-hmm. So, and I also, it's been an opportunity for me to see all the stress of being a parent and have a lot of empathy for them and why it took a while for them to get all of the changes we brought into their lives, because they just want the best for us. And there was a lot of fear that they were operating from. I know the fear, and I also know the courage it takes to overcome it. And so I'm just really grateful for them and proud of them for doing that work. What about you, Tiff?
So I will definitely say seeing my parents as grandparents is one of the most healing things ever. Like, I've always heard that grandparents have this special love for their grandchildren, or they operate differently. But witnessing it firsthand, I'm like, wow. You know, for a little bit there, I was a little jealous, I will say, you know, in a playful way. However, I'm so grateful that my daughter gets to experience that. And for me, I feel like it's very healing for my own inner child. And Nova being born was a huge shift in family dynamics now. And when Mo says obsessed, he's not being extra or dramatic about it. That is absolutely the case. And I think beyond them being more celebratory and all of the things, having Nova was the first time I had the confidence to really allow myself to be seen. So much of the journey before that was like, I'm scared. Like, I'm not going to even invite you in. Like, for the longest time, Mo wanted to go home. And I was like, no, you absolutely cannot, because I was not ready to really be seen for all of who I was. And so having a kid and like becoming a mother myself, I was like, this is who I am. I have another person that I am responsible for. I'm going to allow myself to be seen. And that I felt like was an invitation for them to really do the work and have those necessary conversations. And while it was very difficult, I am so grateful that we are at a place now that is just, it does my heart good. It really does.
Yeah. And I want to say one more thing. I'm thinking for both of our families, for me, Nova's entry into the world solidified my gender transition in a way that I didn't expect, because hearing her one call me daddy for the first time was like, I am a dude. I am a dad. So I could cry now thinking about that. But then watching everybody else be like, daddy, 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 when they're talking to her about me. And then, you know, and interacting with me, it just really, any struggle people might have had with pronouns or getting who I am shifted when they witnessed her, because she just got it immediately. Mm-hmm. There was no question. And everybody just kind of followed her lead.
I'm so heartwarmed here. You bring up like two really big themes that I think come up time and time again when I talk to queer families. Like, you know, first of all, like Tiffany, you touched on this. Once the kid is in the world, it's not just you now, right? Mm. You don't get to hide. You can't hide anymore.
No,
because you have to model pride in yourself and in your family because you want a child. God forbid your child ever feels any feelings of shame over who your family is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also just the fact that our children just get it. Our children are fine. And our children soften those who were in fear before, just by the nature of their being, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just so beautiful. And I'm so happy that your families are there. They've come around. And I know it's always a journey, you know.
Yeah.
I know the journey's not over.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, Tiffany, that it still can be scary to show up as your true authentic self. Because I think I still struggle with that personally too, which is crazy when you think about it, but it is, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just so glad that Nova gave you a little bit of courage to push it a little further and to be you. I love it. Mwah. I am so heartwarmed by your story. I love y'all. I love your beautiful family. And I can't wait to hear more. Hopefully this is not the end of our friendship.
It's not the end.
Definitely not. It's the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
So tell everybody at home where they can find you, where they can find your podcast, and what your podcast is about and all the things.
So our podcast is the Be Your Own Love Goals podcast. You can stream it on all the major streaming platforms. We also have a video version on YouTube and Spotify. You can find us on Instagram, our podcast page, at Be Your Own Love Goals. We have our own individual pages. I am at Tiffany the Empress with three E's. And you are?
Love Out Proud.
Mm-hmm. And our podcast is all about, particularly as a queer couple, understanding that your relationship, who you are, is goals to someone else. And that is really important to be your own love goals in every sense of that. So your own relationship goals, your own parent goals, your own friend goals. And so understanding that everybody wants belonging, authenticity, and love. And so whatever that means for you, go after that, go do that, and be your own love goals.
Yeah. So many of us didn't get a blueprint. I don't think anybody does, but when we live in a society where queer people are often made invisible or rendered invisible, we don't always have a roadmap for love, relationship, healthy partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have been on this journey trying to create our own version of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to encourage other people to go on their own authentic journeys of partnership and don't model your relationship after anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Do you? That's like the whole point of it.
Yep.
I love that. Everybody needs to go tune in, go take a listen, go watch it. And, you know, that's part of the beauty of our out of the box relationships and families. And it's also part of the difficulty, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why podcasts like yours are so important. Podcasts like this one are so important because representation and visibility really does freaking matter. And I am so grateful to you that y'all are showing up out there in the world, you know, as a guiding light. Yeah,
thank
as a guiding
you. And thank you for showing up in this world as you do.
Seriously.
Doing my best. Doing my best. But thank you. I love y'all. Mwah. This has been.
Love you. Thank you.
We love you. Thank you for having us.
Oh, thank you. It's beautiful.
Queer Family Podcast.
A special thanks once again to our sponsor, California Cryobank. Don't forget, y'all, use that code QueerFam, QUEERFAM, for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Go make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about it. Go make them. Go ahead.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier. You're going to join and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.